moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-S. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And welcome to Monday Night. It is, you're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, on time, in fact, a little early, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering. How are you today, Dave?
It's good to be with you on time today. I was a little worried there when I kind of snuck in about 4 minutes ago, and I'm talking to Mike, and Mike's looking at me like I'm trying to speak sign language to him, and he's like, I can see your Skype's working beautiful again tonight. But we got to figure it out. So,
I was going to say, full disclaimer, we still had some issues, but this time it was my fault.
And that's okay. I just 38 seconds, baby. 38 seconds we had.
And speaking of which, I actually I noticed that the opening takes away like a full minute off our show.
Wow.
I think we need to cut that down. We need to cut that down to like 10 seconds so people hear more of us.
Yeah, I think we should be compensated financially for that, I think. Yeah.
Well, let's see. Well, I think a fair percentage would be like 5% of what we get usually.
Sure.
So maybe 0 times 5%. Carry the one. Zero.
Yeah, that's still, why you can't use five. That's the whole trick of that. You got to go, you got to ask for 8% or 9%, because then now you're in the money. At 5%, you're screwed. But you go a little bit higher, you got to reach a little higher, and you're in the money.
I agree. And of course, when I started the show, I happened to just go ahead and knock my glass off my desk here. So
I heard it.
I'm sure everybody heard. So if you heard that big bang and boom, boom, that was my glass hitting the floor. Thankfully, it only had like an inch of water, which is now all over my floor. But, oh well. Let's just move on with the show. What do you say?
I'm on board. Let's do that.
And great part is in my scurry. There we go. I was in my scurry to find how to get the virtual audio cables working again. I buried all of my research.
Just wing it.
But I found it. I found it again. We're all good. We're happy. So, a few episodes ago, Dave and I we kind of ended the show. It was our listener questions, and they asked us, you know, where is your favorite place to go? And we kind of both picked our top five. And obviously we had a couple that were overhanging. But tonight we're actually going to talk more in detail about some of those places that we have always wanted to investigate but never have. And I got to say that my research into these, and I mean, usually when I want to investigate, it's because I saw it on a show or, you know, somebody went there and was like, hey, this place is phenomenal. But doing research on some of these places, like, I was like, I really, really, really want to go to these places. I mean, just the history alone flabbergasts me. And they're unbelievable, and just the historical standpoint of it. So, Dave.
Yes, sir.
The year.
I know you're here. You are on a roll, baby. You are entertaining the heck tonight, so I'm letting you run with it.
Oh, well, then you just sit back. I'll take over.
Okay.
I don't need you for nothing except to be like, I understand. Yes, I agree. That's all I need out of you today.
Yep. Yep. Okay. I understand.
Just kidding.
I totally agree.
So the year is 1796. The city is St. Francisville, Louisiana. A man by the name of General David Bradford, in an attempt to escape the United States to avoid arrest and imprisonment, obtained a land grant for 650 acres to start a new life. He started building a location he called Laurel's Grove. He lived there for 5 years alone before he was pardoned for his role in the Pennsylvania Whiskey Rebellion by President John Adams in 1799. I've gotten kind of conflicting reports of 14 years and what would be 38 years. He sold the property to a man by the name of Ruffin Sterling. I like that name, Ruffin.
I like that too. That's a good name. My name.
I think that's a good call. Nobody really likes David.
Ruffin Soiring. That's a good name.
That actually has a really nice ring to it.
It does.
I think I'm going to change my first kid's name from Indrid Cold to Ruffin.
Yeah, Ruffin Cold. I like that, especially Minnesota.
Ruffin Cold. Ruffin Cold O'Neill. Oh, my Lord. I might change my name to that. Screw my kid.
I think you should change your name to that.
He can be Michael O'Neill. I want to be Ruffin Cold O'Neill.
I'm telling you what, man. That's a movie star name. You just show up in Hollywood with the name, and they go, hi, what are you doing here? You don't look like an actor. And you go, step aside. I'm Ruffin Cold O'Neill. And then just saunter through, man. People will be like, oh, my God, where's a pen? Have him sign his contract.
I think, if anything, that's the name for a certain kind of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Look. A little bit more than an R, but that's okay.
Maybe a little more risky.
So 14 or 38 years later, after General Bradford bought this property, the mansion that now sits on it was finished. Most people in this day and age know it as Myrtle's Plantation. Now, it's been investigated by a lot of shows. Ghost Hunters was there. I know they got a pretty cool piece of FLIR out from the outside. Ghost Adventures was there.
I just heard a demon.
Was it a growl?
It was like a growling, sneering type of horrendous. It scared me so much, I think I wet myself.
I can see that.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to take that as me. That's just my natural reaction anytime I mention Ghost Adventure. This place, obviously beyond its history, has had lots of claims to it. There's been several photographs. Yes, Kat, is the growling stomach demon. I think that's even what we call it, isn't it?
Paranormal belly.
The paranormal belly, yes.
Yep.
So it's rumored to have at least 12 spirits that reside there, although I don't know what brought them to that conclusion. If they've just over the course of the years have gotten 12 different voices, if a medium's come in and be like, hey, there's 12 people here, or what. It's often been reported there have been 10 murders committed on the property, but the only historical records that can be found center around the murder of former owner William Winter. I actually have seen this story and I think it was Unsolved Mysteries talked about it. It was the middle of the night. He was roused from his bed to noises outside. I don't know if something was on fire or something like that, but he went outside to see what was the matter, and somebody shot him. They never caught who it was. They think he knew who it was, personally.
Yeah, which is why he opened the door, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, he ran outside, but he didn't run from this person. So, you know, he was shot, managed to kind of stagger back in, inside, and died climbing the steps. Step number 17, they say, is where he finally passed. And to this day, they can still hear footsteps climbing up the steps, and they stop right at number 17. So they're attributing that claim to him. But whether it's intelligent or whether it's residual, I have no idea. But it, it's definitely an interesting claim. They've taken photos. There's been lots of photos of that place of full-bodied apparitions in between the buildings. They actually made a postcard out of it. And National Geographic, I guess, sent another photo that a teacher and some students took of a little slave girl who looks like she was looking right at the camera through the window.
I like that picture. That's a good picture.
Yeah, I've seen the close-up of it. Normally, I would say that it's Matrix scene, but wow. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't, I've seen that photo. It's a great photo.
It really is. Yeah. Did you see the one that they made the postcard out of?
I don't know. I probably have, but I couldn't like tell you exactly what it looks like right now. It's not sticking out in my mind, I guess.
Oh, no, that's no big deal. But the one thing that I found interesting, that I obviously did not, well, I didn't know a lot of this stuff. I knew about the William Winter. But they say that the plantation house is actually sitting on top of ancient tunica. Is that tunica? I don't even know if I'm spelling it, if I'm saying that right. Indian burial grounds.
Yep, it is.
You say that so matter of factly. Like, yep, yep,
I did research on that too, so I believe that's pretty factual. When I looked at some of the old maps and sketches and etchings and stuff like that, I believe that that is accurate, that that was a sacred burial site that was bought and then was kind of somewhat desecrated by building that plantation there.
But do you think that that has anything to do with the hauntings or just the history?
I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff on Myrtles, too. I would say that it's probably more just kind of about the history, because I think the majority of the energy and the spirits that are left behind are probably from the slavery days, in my opinion, I think. Just some of the violence that happened there and stuff like that, you know, that, that left a stain. So I don't think it's like from the Native Americans, no.
No, I don't think that that's ever been a claim.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, maybe they built it in such a way where it didn't disturb anything.
Maybe. You know, maybe they were respectful, you know. Which would be a shock back in that time. I mean, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of respect for anything going on, but they just kind of did what they wanted to do, so.
No, absolutely they did. So that is my first one. Did you want to go with one of yours? Switch off? Or do you want me to just do all of mine?
Well, why don't you do another one, and then I'll sneak I'll sneak one in right at the end.
Gotcha.
And then I'll start the second half of the show with my good one, so.
With your good one?
Yeah.
Nice. Weston, West Virginia, 1858. The construction started on what was to become the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. This rip-roaring 200,000 square feet facility, 2.1 miles of corridor throughout this building. It actually took them 23 years to finish it, from 1858 to 1881, but it opened in 1864. The reason for the interrupt was a little skirmish called the American Civil War that happened in that area. It is, by all accounts, the largest hand-cut stone masonry building in all of North America, and second in the entire world. Only one beating it is the Kremlin. So go figure on that one.
Yeah, well, those darn Russians.
I was going to say, another reason to hate Russia.
There you go. Taking away our number one spot like that.
Yeah, for large hand-cut stone masonry, I know the competition is booming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The interesting thing is, even though it opened in 1864, it did not close until 1994. And the only reason that it closed was because of changes in how to, like, patient care and stuff like that. It was designed to house, this is what got me, it was designed to house 250 people. In the 1950s, it had 2,400 patients.
Yep.
So violence was huge, overcrowding was worse. It was unreal. I tried to find how many people actually died there. I know people have spit out word, you know, numbers for years. They usually have them on TV shows in order to boost up the
ratings.
Suspense. Well, yeah. I wasn't going to go ratings. It was just like suspense and the excitement. That's the word I was looking for, excitement. Because when you have that many people, and you know people have died there, like it has been historically documented that people have died in this place. They've talked about the body chute tunnels, which nobody seems to be able to find, but everybody believes are still there. They obviously, you know, like normal apparitions, disembodied voices, screams, the feeling of a presence, complete uneasiness, people being touched, etc. The one thing that I really, really liked was paranormal lockdown. Got probably one of the best videos that I've seen in a long time. I know you've seen it, Dave, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry, man. We got a bad connection. You're breaking up. Like, I can't. You're freezing up completely on me, and I can't hear anything you're saying. So I'm just saying, yep, correct, incredible, great documentation. That's all I'm going to say.
I gotcha. So, yeah. Dave, let's talk about how good of a job I'm doing. What would you say that would be?
Absolutely great, incredible, most miraculous thing I've seen on radio to date.
Well, you ruined it with the radio thing.
Oh, sorry.
Because at least I could have, like, thrown it off as, yep, he really does know what I'm saying, which is good.
You're really freezing up on me, so.
Oh, God, 'cause I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, well, that's good. I better not say anything nasty then, because I'm about to, because it's freezing up, and I was about to say something, so. I'm being good. This is PG.
I appreciate that. We are a professional radio show.
We are.
Unlike maybe another show that maybe may or not be on after us.
Right.
So, Transallegheny Lunatic Asylum. if you could tell, this is like our comedy episode.
Yeah, well, it's kind of turned into that, I think.
No, that's all right. I think people can have fun and learn at the same time.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us to sit here and just read something that they could look at a screen and read themselves would be extremely boring. That's all I plan on doing for my half, so.
Just reading a screen and regurgitating?
Yep. That's all I'm going to do, and I'm going to read it as Yoda. I decided that today I'm busting out the Yoda. Haunted was it?
Oh, no. You got to have, like, a Yoda... like voice imitator, you know, where you can speak into your phone and then
Yeah, well, I wasn't prepared. Skip the Yoda. We'll do that somewhere down the road.
I agree, because I was going to do Darth Vader. We can do
right. I use that as a segue. So you totally missed that.
Spoiler alert.
Right, you missed that. I used that as kind of a segue and then you threw out the you can't do Yoda if I'm not doing Darth Vader. See, you weren't supposed to say that. It was supposed to have, like, participation feedback.
Dave, you're breaking up again. I don't know what you're saying.
That would be really cool if you guys did a show as Darth Vader and Yoda.
Yeah, Transallegheny Lunatic Asylum, really cool place.
Is that where we're at?
or so I hear. So I hear.
So you hear.
Because I definitely want to get there. especially after reading and like seeing some of the photos. I didn't do a lot of research before this on that place. I just knew that I really wanted to go. But the place is massive.
Yes, I mean,
and,
yes,
and it's just tucked away in like the mountains, and like there's nothing around it. And I'm like, oh man, what you could have, you know, 50 people there and not run into another person the entire night.
Yeah, yeah. Which I don't know if that'd be good or bad, to be honest with you, because you did run into somebody, when you did happen to run into somebody, you probably dropped out of a heart attack. So I'd prefer to know where everybody was.
No, we wouldn't do that.
There's people that drop dead of heart attacks in haunted attractions. Go to Trans-Allegheny and they let 25 people loose to stumble around in the dark, and somebody comes around a corner and another person's fumbling along the wall and reaches out and grabs them, it's going to be like Chad Lindbergh all over again.
Yes, but he didn't have a heart attack, at least not yet.
He was
yet.
Trying to that one episode. He was clutching
every
his
episode.
Chest.
So, every episode.
Anyway, we digress.
Yeah, we digress. That's all I got on Trans-Allegheny.
I want to go to Trans-Allegheny too, by the way. So, okay. So I am going to start with probably kind of like, I don't know. I didn't do a top 10. I don't even think I really followed my top 5 except for my number 1. So I'm going to give an honorable mention to the Stanley Hotel.
Fair enough.
Place is beautiful. I did not look this up, of course, because as I'm sitting here thinking about it now, but recently, and very recently, in the last couple months, I heard that they were not allowing tours anymore and that they were totally getting away from the whole ghost tour, ghost thing at the Stanley Hotel.
That is correct. Yeah. I actually read the upper management letter that they put out.
Okay. I didn't know you were on the board of directors for the Stanley. We should have gone before they shut it down.
They released a public statement.
Oh, all right.
About why this, because there was such a huge uproar.
Yep.
And did you want me to go into it, or did that?
Sure.
Really
no, you
really
no, absolutely. You can talk about it. I mean, that's all I had. So you go ahead and fill in the blanks.
Long story short, basically they want to get away from the paranormal people so they can bring in bigger conglomerates in order to have like a professional type of shindig event or whatever. Right. They figured that the paranormal background of it was keeping the big money away.
Yeah.
Right. Won't last.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I've always got to say, okay, so this is my reason for putting the Stanley on my list. And as a kid, I went to the movie theater and I knew nothing about the movie The Shining. I didn't even know who Stephen King was. And I don't remember how old I was, but I was like 12, 11, something like that. And I show up at this movie theater with my dad, and we go see the show. Man, it's all kind of like cool, and they're going to take care of this huge, beautiful place over the winter, and yada, yada, yada. And then all this stuff starts happening, and I'm thinking to myself, man, that would be cool if I had a tricycle, get to go zooming down the hallways, man. I wish I was that kid, and da 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 da. Till he turns the corner and sees the twins. And then I was like, man, I would really hate to be in that hotel right now. I hate tricycles. I don't ever want to go ride a tricycle down a hallway. You know? I mean, like, for the next 10 years of my life, I wouldn't even go to a hotel. And if I did, I would, like, seriously, like, want to, like, have a mirror, like, poke it around the corner to see if there was somebody waiting around the corner. Ruined me for life. Thanks, Dad. But I love that. I love that aspect of it. I love the fact that it actually is haunted. The majority of the book, The Shining, was written in room 217 of the Overlook, and the Overlook, some people say, is a different hotel. Some people say it isn't. So I kind of, it just all depends. And Stephen King, not that I could find, has ever definitively said whether it was written at the Stanley or not. But I think a majority of it came from the Stanley Hotel. There have been, obviously, the Travel Channel and other places. People have been there. they've documented some really cool stuff. The lore is really cool. And the fact that you can go out after you get done investigating in the morning and have a cup of coffee sitting on that beautiful front veranda and watch elk come strolling through the front grounds would just kind of cap off a beautiful night of doing something you really like. All right. Anything else on the Stanley?
No.
Okay. All right. So my second to last, and I give this honorable mention, and I know Mike and I both want to do this, but I got to say it first. So St. Augustine Lighthouse.
How did I not have that?
I know. So St. Augustine Lighthouse. Absolutely, you know, I love lighthouses. I just love them for their aesthetic value. But then you take their aesthetic beauty and you toss in about 8 deaths, including drowning girls. And it's just like a weekend paradise. I mean, we're going. I mean, that's all there is to it. Shadow figures climbing up the walls.
Disembodied voices,
right. They hear the cans of oil that they used to have to lug up the stairs to get up to put in the burner up top for the light, banging, clanking on the stairs. I think it was Taps, actually, the one time that they actually had the camera pointed in the right direction when they said, oh my God, look at that. And I actually saw what they were looking at. Now, you know, after 15 years or whatever they've been on TV, I think that's like 3 or 4 times that I've actually seen what they're looking at, and that was one of the times. So, of course, that intrigued the heck out of me to want to go to that location because I actually saw something. You know, I saw what they saw, which was amazing. So some of the background on this place, I couldn't confirm this, but it's pretty well known that the superintendent of the lighthouse construction had daughters while he was busy working and building the lighthouse, had daughters that went out swimming. They got caught in an undertow and got swept out to sea and they drowned. So supposedly they are still there. They hear the girls playing and giggling and running on the stairs very frequently during the day, evening, nighttime, whatever. Normal tours, they hear it. Ghost tours, they hear it. So that would be pretty cool. There were 3 other people that died in the lighthouse that are documented from illnesses. So I'm guessing things like, you know, maybe spotted fever, diphtheria. I couldn't find out exactly what it was. But, you know, one of those kind of things that you're not going to recover from. One of the lightkeepers, Joseph, actually fell to his death from the top of the lighthouse. So, you know, that was a harsh landing, but probably a fun flight down for, you know, 3.5-4 seconds. And just a location. I mean, there's a lot of cool things to do in St. Augustine. So, you know, I'm thinking that GoFundMe page that Mike and I are putting together, we're putting St. Augustine Lighthouse on that bad boy, and we're going to road trip out there, and then we're going to let you guys live vicariously through us as we go investigate the St. Augustine Lighthouse, catch all this really cool evidence, and then present it maybe like in a speaking tour.
A speaking tour?
Yeah. Maybe like we'll tour. We won't write a book, but we'll just do like a video blogamentary, is that a word? Because if that's not a word, I'm taking that word. You take the Dame, Rough and Cold O'Neill, and I'm taking video blogology tour.
Video blogology.
Place is fantastic.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the place is fantastic. It's easy to find information on it. You know, it's restored. They take really good care of it. It's not dilapidated. You can go take tours anytime you want to. And then they actually do, like, some ghost tours and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, it makes my list just because of the uniqueness of the structure.
Got it. So what we're going to do now, before we get into our second set of locations, is we're going to take a short break. We will be back in, looks like to be about 2 minutes. Wow, just 2 minutes? That's an awful commercial break. That's okay. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Walter James Hershey Jr. from the Staring into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series. The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Doo-wop, doo-wah, we're back. I think I said that a little too loud, but that's okay. Because it's Monday, and everybody's having a good time tonight.
Absolutely. Keeping the smiles going anyway.
That's right. We're all about fun. Fun okay. And information.
All right. Now you hush up. It's my turn to talk. I got to get on with my next one. So... I've got two, probably my top two left. Well, other than the one shared joint one that Mike and I both have, which is our true number one. Okay.
Yes.
For both Mike and I. So we're going to save that to the very end so that you have to listen to the show, until the very end and don't get to go cook dinner until we're done talking. So my second to the first would be Gettysburg. I was thinking about places, and I know I threw out some names of places overseas, and Chillingham Castle, and I love Chillingham Castle. The place is renowned. It's supposed to be the most haunted castle in the world, and it's got an incredible amount of evidence, an incredible amount of claims, and just the stunning Gothic castle architecture and everything. It's on the list, but I was thinking today, you know, I'm going to rein in like my world tour a little bit and try to stay in the U.S. So, you know, St. Augustine, Stanley, but Gettysburg. So what a tragically beautiful and hauntingly horrible story Gettysburg is. The place... as everybody knows from school, you know, it was one of the Civil War's most bloodiest battles. Combined for both the North and South, there were over 50,000 soldiers killed on the battlefield. They said that at Gettysburg, right after the battle, when people were trying to go and identify their loved ones, that the blood was so thick that it ran like rivers. And people were walking through it trying to identify the bodies. If that's not going to leave a stain on a particular parcel of land, I don't know what is. So that being said, I would like to go not only to experience kind of the war history of it and American history of it, but I'd also like to go and pay respect to the people that lost their lives there. And while paying respect, I would like to be able to kind of interact with some of them if there are still some intelligent entities there. I know there's a ton of residual. I know that they see all the time, they see troops of soldiers like walking in formation along tree lines and in fields. And as a matter of fact, one of the best video pieces I've ever seen, Brad Kling has, of a group of soldiers walking across a field that he thought was like a reenactment. And so he started filming it, and as he's filming it, they vanish. They just slowly fade out. And I'm like, wow. I mean, that was amazing. So some of the claims that you can still hear cannon thunder regularly. Gunfire, screaming, moaning, horse hooves running, names being called out, battle cries being called out. And obviously, we could spend probably two whole shows on Gettysburg, you know. So I'm going to focus, believe it or not. I know I'm all over the place today, but I'm going to focus on one place in Gettysburg that when Mike and I get there, this is going to be our main focus. It's called the Devil's Den. And what it is it's a rock formation where after the Civil War, dozens of bodies and limbs were discovered. So this is where I get to read from the page, because I'm not going to try and add this whole thing. So on July 2nd, 1863, the second day of the battle in Gettysburg was fought at the Devil's Den. So according to early accounts from the area, the tangled outcropping of rocks was a Native American hunting ground for centuries, and some say that a huge battle was once fought here called the Battle of the Crows, during which many natives perished. You know, there's unnatural sightings, supernatural sounds, lights. They wrote that early settlers had wrote tons of ghost stories that they saw Indians there, standing there, and then would vanish. That they heard like war whoops. That they heard ponies racing towards them. The natives that were still frequenting the area would go there and hold very sacred and very secret ceremonies. Paying respect to the people that had passed away there and stuff. So just in that respect, the place has got to be tons of energy, tons of activity going on just from that. Then the place actually became like a secret battle, and then a dumping ground for bodies. So if you take a minute, obviously we don't have the ability to show you pictures, but if you take a minute and look up the Devil's Den in Gettysburg, there's some really, really cool pictures, and I think you'll see kind of why that would grab our attention to head up there. So when we go to Gettysburg, I shouldn't say if, so when we actually hit our GoFundMe page dollar amount number and we get to go to Gettysburg and everybody gets to live vicariously through us, we're going to go to the Devil's Den and spend like a whole entire day and night and then bring back absolutely amazing things for our blogumentary world tour.
Now it's a world tour?
Well, we'll see. I kind of feel it is. I feel it's going to be. I think it's going to take off.
Video blogumentary.
World tour. Well, all right. Minnesota tour. How about that? We'll do a Minnesota tour, and then we'll branch out when we get famous.
We're already famous.
All right. Well, then we'll do Midwest. We'll do the Midwest tour.
There we go. Maybe Midwest out to Pennsylvania.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, because my last one, my big one, happens to be in that neck of the woods.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, because we're down to about...
Anything to add on Gettysburg real quick?
I was just going to say that in the spirit of full disclosure, I've actually never heard of Devil's Den.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so listening to that was actually completely all news to me.
Oh, well, cool. Look at that.
I have been enlightened today, Mr. Sorin.
There you go. There you go. Thank you. Leave it on top, baby.
Who knew that was all it was going to take? I would have been inspired by you years ago. Oh, junior high little gestures there.
I was waving at you.
Right, I got that. I'm number one. I understand. So, there's about 20 minutes left, so I'm going to speed through this one because I really want to get to your last one and then obviously the one that we share.
Yes. Either that or we're taking over the first 10 or 15 minutes of Matt's show. So, Matt, if you're online, don't worry about it. We got you covered. You only have to do 45 minutes instead of 60 tonight.
That's right. We're here to make your life easier.
Yeah, so, that's what friends are for.
So, Sarge, we'll be with you in another half hour.
Yeah.
So, San Jose, California. Houses, in my opinion, one of the weirdest homes ever created. Started building in 1884. construction did not end until 1922, when the owner of this particular location died. Most people would probably just on just those would know which one I'm talking about. Obviously, it's the Winchester Mystery Mansion, whatever, which was dubbed the mystery house or mystery home or whatever by Houdini. In fact, I did not know that. She was told by a medium from Boston that who said she was channeling her dead husband, that she had to move out west and continuously build a home for herself and for the spirits that were the victims of their rifles. Which, I mean, in this day and age, if a medium told anybody that, would it ever be taken seriously?
No.
I wouldn't. But here's what struck me, and it wasn't even about, well, it is about the home, but it's not even about the haunted thing. It's just the history behind it. Listen to this. Just the numbers of it. When her husband died in 1881, so before she even built it, 3 years before she started building this home, she inherited $20.5 million. And this was in 1881. And nearly 50% of the Winchester Repeating Rifle Company. That gave her roughly $1,000 a day. In 2013, that would equal $23,000 a day. A day.
How much?
$23,000 a day.
In today's dollars or in those dollars?
In 2013.
Okay.
So taking that, obviously, 1,000, 23,000, you know, times by 23 times, she would have inherited $471.5 million.
Wow.
In 1881, almost half a billion dollars. I didn't even think that amount of money existed back then.
Well, I'm impressed.
That's an
impressive number.
Obviously, violence pays. I mean, we're all thinking sex is the way to go, but we just need to start like a gun company.
Well, I think you just have sex with guns, and you're in. Yeah, that's the new multi-billionaire right there.
Oh, just got a rated X vision in my head. We're going to be millionaires, Dave. We're going to be millionaires. I'm going to look into it.
Okay.
So, anyway, the house, I mean, if you see pictures now, obviously it's gorgeous. It's humongous. It takes 20,700 gallons of paint to paint this house.
Wow.
And it used to be an unfinished farmhouse when she bought it.
Not anymore.
No. Now, it has 161 rooms, 40 bedrooms, 2 ballrooms, 47 fireplaces, 10,000 panes of glass, 17 chimneys, 2 basements, and 3 elevators. And I'm reading this, and I'm like, well, where? It doesn't say anything about bathrooms.
And, there are none. It's an outhouse outside. And
reading on, it said, you're close. Reading on, it says there was only one working toilet in the entire mansion. All of the other restrooms were decoys to confuse the spirits.
Nice. So you gotta wonder over the years how many deuces got dropped in a fake toilet, right?
Oh man!
Well, I couldn't help it. I mean, you just led you down the path. I mean,
no, I'm agreeing with you. I don't know how many there are. That's for one. Right. It used to be 7 stories high. I did not know that. But due to earthquakes in 1906. And I think 1986. Now it's only 4 stories. But I was blown away by the sheer amount of money. Like they had a storage room. They called it the $25,000 storage room, where she just had stuff that was there. Now, $25,000, I think, is like $325,000. So she has like $325,000 worth of stuff just in storage.
Wow.
Just going for the history of this place is going to blow your mind more than I think almost any paranormal experience probably could.
Yeah, so let me ask you real quick, because sure. You know, and we don't have time to talk about it right now, so maybe it'll be part of another show. But, you know, in my opinion, and I'm just going to throw this out there quick for food for thought. I think number one, she was partially insane, and number two, yes. I think that part of her insanity that she was preyed upon by these spiritualist. Seance kind of predators of the time, and told her all of this crap that caused her to do these ridiculous things. Now, that's just yes. my opinion. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, so.
No, I'm actually in agreement with you, because reading what because I didn't know about the fact. I knew that she was told by the medium to do this. I did not know that the medium was like, I'm channeling your husband, and he's saying to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that makes no sense whatsoever.
No, that's a scam.
I agree with you on that one. Like, that is crazy talk. But I'm glad it hasn't happened since.
Yeah.
That would be weird. Yeah, would obviously, be. Apparitions, disembodied voices, people getting touched, footsteps, slamming doors. You know, but how much of that is, you know, somebody closing a door on the other side of the house and it ricocheting, you know, through the house? I don't know how much of the claims can actually be contributed to paranormal stuff. I have actually never talked to anyone that has ever investigated it.
No. And some of the things you see on TV, you know, they don't have, I don't know, I guess I don't remember seeing anything great. So right.
You're up, Mr. Sorry.
All right. Okay, so in 1829, the largest and most expensive prison ever built showed up in eastern Pennsylvania. It was designed by a gentleman from England named John Haviland. And if you don't know who John Haviland is, you should take a minute and look him up, because his architecture is absolutely stunning. He actually has a place here in Minnesota that he did. The facility, in case you haven't kind of guessed it, seeing where it was, is Eastern State Penitentiary. When it first opened, it was directed by the Quakers. And for people who don't know who the Quakers are, very strict, very religious, very no fun, no gray area. It was all just pretty much black and white, you know? You do it for God, or you don't do it, kind of thing. The place had incredibly strict rules, and so I'll talk about a couple of them. The inmates, whenever they were moved from their cells, which had no windows, by the way, and we'll get to that, were hooded. The guards actually hooded all of the inmates. They were never allowed to see the guards, the other inmates, the layout of the facility, anything. They never got to see anything. They were cloaked in hoods, moved from one area to the other, and then when they got to the area they were going to, the hood was removed. Their cells didn't have any windows, but they did have a light source in a skylight. And the belief behind that was, from the Quaker standpoint, was that the light from above was the reflection of the light of God, and that light was going to seep into your soul as you sat in the stone cell, and it was going to cause you to repent for your sin and become a better person. So that was the philosophy behind that. As we know, when you lock somebody in a 6x8 solid stone 20-foot wall tall cell with no windows, and you just have a skylight at the very top, and they're hooded everywhere they go, and they have no human contact and no interaction, they don't repent and become better human beings to be put back into society. They usually become insane or violently, criminally insane. And that's two different things. So I know it sounds redundant, but it's not. So, that's, you know, that was kind of what was going on there. It was 11 acres. And it was the first facility to have central heat, running water, and flush toilets. And it actually had that stuff before the White House did, which I thought was pretty impressive when I looked that up today. When I saw that, I was like, sure, you know, go and throw a bunch of guys who kill other people into this facility and give them running water, central heat, and flush toilets. And the president and his staff are still crapping outside in the back 40 behind a tree or something, you know. I'm like, does that make sense? That doesn't make any sense to me. A couple of famous inmates, Slick Willie Sutton, who was a famous bank robber, and Scarface Al Capone himself, who was allowed to furnish his cell with antiques, rugs, and famous oil paintings so that he would be comfortable there. Currently, people that have investigated there, and there is a ton of evidence, so I'm not going to waste my time talking about it. You can look it up. Al Capone's spirit does roll back through there, from what I've heard, and some of the audio recordings I've heard, it sounds like Al Capone, and he's talking about things that he would know, that Al Capone would know about. It was abandoned in 1971, after 142 years. See what else can I tell you about it. It's beautiful. they hold a haunted attraction there every year, which I don't agree with, but that's okay. You know, if they want to hold a haunted attraction, that's fine. I mean, I don't agree with it, but I think that might be continuing the activity. So if that's the case, then cool. So if you get a chance, go to Eastern State Penitentiary because Mike and I are going. All right, moving on.
Maybe we'll do an event there.
Hey,
we'll invite everybody.
Absolutely. Everybody's invited.
So, moving on to our final piece. This is the good one. Dave, when you think of Mexico, what usually comes to mind?
Margaritas, white sand beaches, and tons of drugs and murders.
Bad water, good Mexican food.
Good Mexican food, you know, dogs that mysteriously disappear in the neighborhood, and then it's, you know, all-you-can-eat burrito night at the local cafe.
But do people like us, the places that we like to go,
right,
is the La Isla de las Muertas. I cannot pronounce it.
Way to destroy that vaudeville.
Muñecas. How do you pronounce it?
No, you're on a roll. You roll with it.
Man. Okay, that's fine. Or known to, in English, Island of the Dolls.
Ooh.
Now, if you have not looked up Island of the Dolls in a lit room, do so. It will creep you out. It's unreal. And it all stemmed from a guy in 1950, Don Julian Santana. I'm trying that with a Mexican accent. How did I do?
It was beautiful.
Was it beautiful?
It was.
I do think it was kind of beautiful.
I agree.
He was the caretaker of this island, and as legend states, or maybe I should say myth, however you want to phrase, urban legend states, he found a little girl who had drowned, and he was not able to save her. Shortly after this happened, he found a doll in the water. Assuming that it was hers, he hung it from a tree in support and respect for this little girl's spirit.
Now, you do have to throw in there, though, so people understand that this island, it's not like an island out in the middle of the ocean. It's an island, but it's all canals around it.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's like Venice, if you can kind of picture like the Mexico's Venice canals, you know, that's kind of what it kind of is like.
Right. It actually takes 2 hours by boat just to get there.
Yeah.
From a populated area. And I found out by reading about this place, it's not actually not an island at all. It's what they consider a floating garden. Oh. It was made by the Aztecs. To be like a floating garden.
Nice.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Look at you, Mr. History.
Yeah, reading. Who would have thought that by reading you would learn stuff? Yeah. I had no idea.
But we're not going in by boat, by the way, because that 2 hours, that's bogus. We're dropping in from helicopter when we go.
No, we're, no.
Yeah, we are.
Maybe skydiving. But
ooh,
yeah. Anyways.
That's
so for the next 50 years, Julian collected dolls from garbage cans, from anywhere he could find them, and hung them from trees. Because he thought that he was still being haunted by this little girl's spirit.
Yep.
A lot of people think that because of his isolation, he just went nuts, and that this little girl never actually existed. But once he died in 2001, they opened up the island to everybody.
You got to tell them how he died.
Well, see, this is it. I've got conflicting reports now. Because the legend always was that he was found to have drowned in the exact place this little girl
canal.
Drowned.
Right, exactly. Where they found her body in the canal, yep.
But another report that I was reading said that he died of a heart attack.
No, we're going with the canal one.
We're going with the drown, because that fits us perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. Heart attack, my ass.
So when they open, I'm regurgitating what I read. So once they opened up the island or the floating garland to the public, people started bringing dolls and hanging it from the tree. There's thousands of dolls on this island.
And we're not talking like trees. We're not talking glamour Barbie here.
No,
you know, in her sundress. We're talking like the dolls from your worst nightmare that you've ever seen in your life. That actually move.
Yes. I mean, when it comes to claims, this is how they wrote it. Soulless eyes follow people as they walk past. People will see the doll's parts move on their own, and they'll hear the dolls whispering to each other.
Yep.
I don't know.
That's why it's our number one spot.
It is our number one spot.
I
think it would be the creepiest flipping place in the entire world.
Yep.
That you could go, and you know, we're skipping that over, like the Chillingham castles and the old prisons.
Yep.
This place would creep out anybody. So, I, with the light on, because you won't sleep if you do it with the light off. Look it up. It's unreal, the amount of creep factor.
and if you want to see an absolutely great video clip, that probably was the first clip that hooked Mike and I on this site, is Josh Gates when he's on the island doing his show. And he says, as he's standing there, "I'm going to tell you, if this doll's eyes move, I am going to freak out." And the camera's on him. And he points at it, and the doll's eyes blink at him and open back up. Yep.
Yes.
And it's the head. It's just the doll head, and it's creepy as hell. The doll head that's there, it looks like Satan was playing with a doll and then discarded it, and somebody picked it up and hung it there. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to get there. It's going to be great.
definitely on the list. I just don't know if they would let us actually investigate that. I mean, you could go for tours and stuff, but I would want to investigate.
No, we're taking over the island.
I don't know.
We're dropping in with flying suits from 20,000 feet with all our gear parachuted behind us. We're going in commando style, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator.
Wow. You have this all planned out.
No, it just came to me like it was an epiphany as we were talking about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think that's going to do for us tonight. Hope you enjoyed our little program here. So if you want to reach us, obviously Facebook, Odyssey Paranormal Society and Odyssey Files Radio. This episode and all of our episodes are on my website, odysseyparanormalsociety.com. Up next is... the Paracave, and the man who always seems to have just downed an entire bottle of cough syrup, Mr. Matt Gesso, he is coming on. So hey. Stay tuned for that.
Yep. Have a good show, Serving Tray.
Nice. All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Night, everybody.